Well, let me say again, good morning. Welcome here to Dallas Foursquare Church. I want to start this morning with a little trick, if that's okay. All right, it's a trick for some of you. It's an old trick for some of you. It's a new trick, all right? And if it's an old trick for you, just pretend like you don't remember, and then it will be a new trick, okay? So this is a trick that I call my three ropes trick, if I can find them in here. I've got all sorts of stuff in here, okay? This is my three ropes trick, and you guys need to pay close attention, okay, to this, and watch, because the key to this is hiding the ropes in my sleeves and pulling out new ones, okay? So you got to watch closely and see how if my hands are as fast as they used to be and being able to do that without you actually seeing it, okay? So basically, it's called the three rope tricks because there's one, two, three ropes, right? Now, the thing about this trick is these ropes, there's different sizes. We got smaller ropes, right? Like, there's a lot of smaller kids in here today, right? We got medium ropes. There's a lot of medium-sized kids in here today, okay? And then we've got our taller ropes for the taller kids in here today. And there are some of those that are older but shorter, and some that are shorter but taller. But this basically represents, all right, all the many different people. Wait, younger but taller. That's what I meant to say, all right? I was just seeing if you guys were listening and paying attention, because I already switched the ropes and you didn't even see it, okay? See, I throw you off with that game, all right? So basically what we're going to do is we're going to take these three ropes. We pull them up. Because I used to think that this is how God didn't see heights and all that kind of stuff, because he just looks from above, right? So I used to think that was the case. But it's not necessarily. And I totally forgot what I was doing. Okay, let's do what I'm doing here. Pay attention to what I'm doing so I don't mess up here, okay? Have you ever watched America's Got Talent and you got those magicians and they just blow it? That's my fear sometimes. It's like, I'm going to get up here and I'm going to be like, what? Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Okay, anyways, all right. Here we go. So I got three ropes, three different sizes, right? But that's not how God sees us. When God looks, he doesn't see tall, small, big, large, red, yellow, black, white. They're all precious in his sight, but he doesn't see us that way. Instead, he sees three ropes. Watch, up my sleeve, down my sleeve. You don't even see it. Now he sees three ropes. All the same size. How many? One. How many? Two. Three ropes. All the same size. That's how God sees us. It worked, guys. All right. But you see, we are not like God. We're human. We're all messed up. And so when we look at people, uh-oh, crud, that's the medium size. I hope there's a long one in here. Oh, there we go. Okay, see, this is how we see people. All different shapes and sizes. Ta-da! All right, now we can go home. Just kidding. All right. Well, I show you that trick because today is our family service. And I have the pleasure of speaking to people all different sizes, from young to old, okay? I won't say how old the oldest one's in here, but probably as young as 3 or 4 years old, all the way up to those really old people. But with that pleasure, it's a pleasure, but with that pleasure comes the great challenge as I try to share a word that keeps the young ones drawn in, right? That's why I got to pull out the magic tricks and have some fun, but also keeps the old ones being challenged by the word today. And so this morning, I'm going to do my best to do that. And I'm going to talk about a man that I think most of us in here are familiar with. If you've been in church at all, you are familiar with who I'm going to talk about today. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Exodus chapter 6. How many of you have heard of the name Moses? All right, I think most of us have heard of Moses. Now, most of us, if we've heard of Moses, we probably know that he is best known for leading the Israelites out of Egypt, right? And some of you young ones might be a little young to remember this movie. Maybe you saw it. But there was an old animated movie that came out back in 1998 called The Prince of Egypt. Okay? Anybody seen The Prince of Egypt? I actually have a cover for that movie that we can put up on the screen here so you can see. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but there was this animated movie, The Prince of Egypt. And it wasn't just animated, it was a musical, okay? And it was the story of Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt, leading them out. And one of my favorite songs from this movie is a song called My Deliverer, and I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that it was done by DC Talk, okay? But one of my favorite songs was a song called My Deliverer, and the words basically said, "My Deliverer is coming. My Deliverer is standing by." Now, of course, this song, it's the voice of the Israelites. They're waiting for the Lord to come. They're waiting for Him to deliver them out of the hands of Pharaoh. And they knew that God was coming for them. They knew that God was going to deliver them because of a promise that He gave to them before. And this promise is found in Exodus 6. And I'm going to read to you Exodus 6, verses 6 through 8. This is what the Lord spoke through Moses to the people of Israel. It says this, "Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." And so because of this word, they knew that God would deliver them. It was just a matter of time. It was a matter of being patient, right? Many of us aren't good with that. We're not good with patience. Have patience. Have patience. Don't be in such a hurry. We want to speed it up, don't we? We have this problem with patience. But they had to be patient. God was their deliverer. He was going to come. They just had to trust. Now many of us know how the story goes. God sends Moses to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And at first, the leader of Egypt, Pharaoh, he refuses to let them go. "No, I will not let them go. Let them go. No, I will not let them go." I don't know what that's from. That's from some movie. It was just in my head, and I couldn't sing it like it was supposed to. Otherwise, that would have been funny, probably, if you've seen that movie, of course. But after continuing to say, "Let my people go," and he says no, God begins to send these plagues. And after numerous plagues, and eventually the final one caused death to Pharaoh's oldest son. And so finally, after his son dies, after the plagues, Pharaoh finally says, "Fine, you can go. Leave. Get out of here." Right? So Israelites pack up. They get all their stuff together. And they begin to head out. But we know what happens, right? As they're heading out, all of a sudden Pharaoh goes, "Oh no, who's going to build all our stuff? Who's going to do all these things that they've done for us?" And so he's like, "Go get them, go get them." And so Pharaoh changes his mind and they head off after him, right? And you remember the Israelites are out and they're kind of stuck, right? They come to this huge, massive Red Sea. No way around it. They're there. And then Pharaoh and his army are coming after them. And so what happens? Do you guys remember? Moses stretches out his staff. And just like here. Oh, look at that. Look at that. It just opens up. Just like this aisle right here. The water just opens up. And they walk on dry land through to the other side. Now, I got to tell you, that is like one of the most amazing things to me. To see this massive sea. And this isn't like our little creek here in Dallas. All right, this is this massive sea. And it just whoop, opens up, and they walk on dry land. I want to see that. When I get to heaven, I'm like, "Hey, can you can I see a replay of that, God? You know, can I see that again? I want to see what that looked like, because it's got to be this amazing thing. But they go through, they get on the other side, and then what happens? Pharaoh's army comes after them. And then this really morbid thing and cool thing happens, right? It closes in on it and it destroys Pharaoh and the Egyptians that are coming after them. And so the Israelites, they're free. Woo! Say woo! Yes! They're free. And now they are on their way to the promised land. It's just right over there. But if you know the story, you know that it took them longer to reach the promised land than it should have. 40 years longer, to be exact, okay? 40 years. Almost as old as Corey over there, right? Just kidding. That was a joke from earlier. So, why did they spend 40 years wandering in the desert? And why did some of them never even got to the promised land at all? You see, it's interesting. I can't tell you how many times growing up when reading about the Israelites that I asked this question. Why were they so dense, right? I used a word that I could use since we have kids in here today, okay? Why were they so dense? You know, why would they worship other idols? Why would they sin against God again and again? Why would they lose their faith? I remember thinking this as I read about the Israelites. Man, why? What's wrong with these people? Don't they remember the miracles? Don't they remember all that God had done for them? How He had delivered them out of Egypt? But the interesting thing is, I remember years ago when I was reading, as I was a little bit older, I was asking these questions, thinking, man, what is wrong with these Israelites? And then the Lord began to ask me some questions. He says, hey, Darren, why do you worship other idols? Why do you put the ducks on a pedestal, okay? Because sometimes we do, right? Why do you sin against me? Why do you lose faith at times? Don't you remember the miracles? Don't you remember what I've done for you? And I began to realize how easy it is for us to point fingers at other people and fail to see that we're no different. We do the same things that the Israelites did. Just like God wanted to free the Israelites and lead them to their promised land, I believe God wants to do the same for us. He wants to free us and lead us to the promised land that He has for us here in this place, on this earth. Now, I know that we could look through the book of Exodus. We could analyze the 40 years of wandering in the desert, and we can find numerous mistakes and sins that may have kept them there. But today, I want to bring one thing to you. And I believe that if we take this one thing and we allow God to apply it to our lives, that we will experience the freedom and the promised land that God has for each of us. And to do that this morning, I want to share with you one of my favorite stories. Okay? I love this story. It's a fun story that I want to share with you. I've shared it before, but it's perfect for what we're talking about today. And it goes back like 20 years when my wife and I, when we went to our youth pastors conference, we would go to each year over in Seaside, Oregon. And it was really cool. All the youth pastors would gather and we would always get a room right on it's right on the ocean, and your room looked out over the beach. It was beautiful, had a nice deck out there, and so it was just this great time to get away and to learn and grow in the Lord. But one of the fun things to do was we'd go out on the deck and the seagulls would be flying all over, and we'd love to like throw up food. We'd get bread and we'd throw it and the seagulls would come and catch it out of the air. And then if you even had a long enough piece, you could kind of reach out and they would come and snag it out of your hand. And so we would have fun playing with these seagulls out there. Now we were careful, okay, because A year or two before that, there was this youth pastor that was a little crazy. People thought I was crazy. I was nothing compared to this guy, okay? So this guy was doing the same thing, but they figured out some way how to lure the seagull in where they actually caught the seagull, okay? And they caught the seagull, and they thought it'd be fun to take video of this. And so they're like, look at me in my room with the seagull. And the greatest thing is we got this on video. He's like showing the seagull, and all of a sudden the seagull turns and goes, takes a chunk from his head right here. Just whoop, you know, and it was like, ah, you know, and so I'm having visions of that, okay, so it's fun to feed them, but don't get too close because you don't want them to take a chunk, because somebody showed the video, and then all that weekend, all the youth pastors would be like, hey, nice scar there, Bill, you know, for what he had from catching the seagull, and so I'm like, okay, we'll have fun, but don't get too close to the seagulls. I don't need a chunk out of my head, all right, so we're there feeding them, and then my wife was like, hey, I wonder how close we can get them. I wonder if they'll come onto the deck if we put food on the deck. And so we put food on the deck, and we got inside the glass, you know, thinking that they'd be right there in front of us, and we're waiting and waiting, and they'd kind of come and land on the rail, but they'd see us in the window, and they'd fly away. And so we stood there for about 10, 15 minutes. Nothing happened, so we kind of just gave up, and it was around lunchtime, so we went and got lunch. Come back from lunch, and we opened the door, and I'm like, hey, honey, look. There were two seagulls that had come, and we had left the bread out there, and they're sitting there on the table eating the bread. And so I thought, hey, shh, be quiet, you know, and so we're kind of coming up, and actually one of my other youth pastor buddies was with me, and we come up, and we're trying to see how close to the glass we can get before these seagulls take off. Well, all of a sudden, you know, we're a couple feet from the glass, and the seagulls see us, and like, whoa, people, get out of here, right? I don't know if that's how they really talk, but just in my head, that's how it is. And so they jump off the table, and they begin to fly away. And it'd be really cool if there wasn't this glass structure underneath the railing that they don't see. So they begin to fly away, boom, right into the glass. And then, boom, right into the glass. And at first, a couple times, you're like, oh my gosh, look at you. Me and my buddy are laughing. Well, like the third or fourth time, all of a sudden, my wife, she's not laughing anymore. She's like almost crying. She's like, dude, you got to do this. She hates when I do this voice because she's like, I don't sound like that. But in my head, that's how it sounds, okay? You got to do something, Darren. You know, they're going to die. They're going to kill themselves because it's like the Bee Movie, you know? They're just like, maybe this time, boom. Maybe this time, boom. And they just keep smacking into the glass. Now, you got to remember, my wife's like, do something, Darren. Get them, help them. I'm having visions of the youth pastor, Bill, grabbing a seagull and taking a chunk out of his head. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I don't want to be the youth pastor that shows up this next year that two has a chunk out of his head or more, that, you know, takes my nose off or something. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know. Help him. And boom, boom. And so we step back trying to keep them from freaking out. But as soon as you get close, again, into the glass, boom, into the glass, boom. And so numerous times, and I'm thinking, I got to help these things. So first I thought, okay, if I open the door and I do this, the bird will naturally go up into the air and fly away, right? So I go out there and I'm like, come on, come on. But they just flap and freak and go into the glass and squawk at us. And so I close the door. I'm like, okay, that's not working. Again, glass, boom. This thing's like just, I don't know how many times now this thing is smacked, the two of them smacking into the glass, smacking into each other. So then I had this brilliant idea. I'll get a towel. And I'll do the same thing. I'll kind of get underneath them and flip them up, you know, like, whoo, flip them up into the air, and they'll go flying away. Well, I try to go. If I get the towel next to them, they start freaking out, and the towel gets tangled on them, and I'm trying to grab it, and then their beak's right there, and I'm like, no. And so I'm back in. And so this goes on, and I'm freaking out. My buddy's just sitting there laughing, you know. It's not my room, you know. It's like, it's your guys' room. I'm out of this. And so I go out there, and finally I'm just like, okay, Darren, be a man. You were a Marine. Come on, man. This thing can't hurt you too much, all right? And so I go out there, and I'm trying to get this thing, and I'm wrestling with it, and it's flapping and squawking and into the glass. And it wasn't until the seagull finally just gave up. There was a point where the seagull had hit his head up against the glass so many times and had been flapping and fighting that finally it just kind of gave up. And I finally was able to wrap the towel around it while I'm worried about the other one biting me. You know, like, is this some sort of trick? Bring them in and I'll bite them, you know? And so I finally get it and I pull it off and I'm away from the other seagull.
And I got to be honest, I was a little afraid to let him go because the way he had just kind of gone limp, I was like, great, I'm going to throw this thing off my deck. You know, I'm on third story and it's just going to go hit the ground and they're going to be like, that dude just killed a seagull! You know, I just had these visions of what's going to happen. But I let it go and the thing just kind of started to go down. I'm like, oh no, oh no. And then all of a sudden it just starts flapping. And that thing just like took off towards the ocean. It didn't look back, man. That thing was just going, going. And the funny thing is the same thing happened. I'm fighting with this second one again. And I don't know how many times it smacked. I don't know. It's probably only 15, 20 minutes. It felt like an eternity of time, okay? But I'm sitting there trying to get this thing. And finally, same thing. It just gave up. And I was finally able to grab hold of it. I was finally able to let it go. And again, this one I let off, and it same kind of thing. And they both just took off, didn't look back, get out of this place, away from those freaks there on the porch. And I share this story for a reason. One, it's a fun story. But because I think it's a perfect illustration of the Israelites. It's a perfect illustration of us at times in our lives where God's trying to reach down and he's trying to help us. He's trying to free us, but we're fighting against him. We're trying to do our own thing. And it wasn't until that seagull allowed me to fully take control of it. It wasn't until that seagull had given up its will that I was able to lift it up and let it go. And the same thing is true in our life, is we fight against the Lord, we fight against his will, and it's not until we submit and that we give God full control of our lives that he can pick us up and that he can let us walk in his freedom. The Israelites, they fought the Lord. They fought him and they wandered for 40 years. And I know I've had my moments where I've smacked into the glass, thinking, maybe this time. I fought against God's will for my own life. But in order for us to really be set free, to really experience freedom, we need to let him have control of our lives. We need to say yes to God, not just in this area or that area, but in all areas of our life, so that he can pick us up out of that miry clay and set us on solid ground so that we can experience his freedom. Galatians 5:1 says this. Let me just read it to you. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." God came to set us free, but yet we still live in bondage. God set the Israelites free. He didn't want them to wander. But because of not letting go, because of their own will, they continue to struggle and wander. And the same is true for us at times. God sets us free so that we can be free, so that we don't have to bang our head on the glass again and again. That's why Jesus came to this earth. He came to die on a cross for us. I know teacher Sheila teaches you guys that in kids' class, right? Jesus came and he died on the cross for us. I want to share another trick with you. It's a trick I've been doing for years. I can move this back here. I needed some room to move here, so I had to move that over. This is my restore rope trick, but basically this rope represents life before the fall, right? Complete, whole, complete, strong, sturdy, no scars, no cuts, no blemishes in this rope, okay? But what happened was we sinned. Adam and Eve sinned, and it broke this relationship that we had with God. And so I'm going to come down here somewhere about halfway. And the key here, and this is with any illusion, is to make you believe something happened that didn't, okay? So you think I'm going to cut this rope, all right? Watch closely. Now, that was an illusion, okay? Oh, I hope I did this right. I think that was an illusion. I made you think that I cut the rope, okay? But this is representation of life after the fall. how our lives became broken. Now, the thing is we tried to take our two sides of our ropes. We tried to take our lives and we try to fix it. We try to make things right. We try to put these back together and pull them nice and tight. We try to put our own lives back together. That's what we've tried for years. We try to make things right on our own. But it's not the same. The rope is still broken. The rope needs God's hand to bring healing, to make it whole again. And so God knew that. When man fell, God had a plan that someday he would send his son, Jesus, to die on a cross for us. God had a plan. He took things into his hands. So this is representing, it's not even close, but it's going to represent God's hands. Okay, let's see if I can get this in the right spot. So we're going to take the knot and get it right in my hand here. Put it right in my hand. And he took things into his hand and he held that sin in our life. He held it in that hand. And I told you he had a plan, right? What was the plan? The cross. Okay? Now I realize I made this cross like 20 some years ago. First time I ever did this trick for my youth group, all right? So this cross, it's black on this side, representing the sin that was in our lives. The break that happened that separated us from God. But we know that Jesus died on the cross. He went into the grave, right? And he rose again. Look at that. Was that a cool trick? The black is gone. Is that not awesome? Did you guys catch that? You probably didn't even see that, right? Illusions, all right? And while I just fooled you, I changed the rope in my hand, okay? So God died on the cross, saved us from our sins, so that we no longer have to be broken, that we're not this rope tied together, but we're somewhere there's a knot. Wait. Oh, it worked! There's this rope that's been restored by Jesus in our lives. Amen. God had a plan and it was to bring restoration to our lives. His death brought freedom to us so that we no longer have to live in bondage like the Israelites did. Now tomorrow is New Year's. And on New Year's, many people make all sorts of promises, right, of how they're going to live life differently. Oh, this year it's going to be different. I'm going to exercise, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. We make all sorts of promises. Many people look at the New Year as this fresh start, right? All right, it's a new start, a new beginning. But here's the cool thing. As Christians, every day is a new start. We don't have to wait until New Year's to start living life right. Lamentations 3:23 tells us that His mercies, His compassion, it's new every morning. Every morning. And we need that because the reality is none of us are perfect. We all struggle. We all sin in this world. But Jesus dying on the cross, He made a way for us to be cleansed of our sins. It's just a matter of us confessing them, giving them to Him. 1 John 1:9, it's one of my favorite scriptures because I sin all the time. And it says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us from all of our sins. And that word, cleanse, it means to wash, right? It means to clean, to make clean. If we confess our sins or if we admit when we mess up, if we admit when we fail, if we admit when we fall short, Jesus will wash us clean so that we can experience His freedom in our lives. I want to finish with one last trick this morning. Is that okay, or should I just be done with tricks? One more, okay? This is one some of you have seen before, but many have seen and go, how did you do that? And it's simply an illusion, okay? And luck, basically. All right, let's see if I can do this. This is what I call my little laundry detergent trick. All right, let me get my stuff together here so we're ready. All right, so this is Splash. I bought this like 20-some years. Actually, my wife gave this to me as a Christmas present, probably because my clothes were always dirty. I don't know. But this is a great trick, all right? So I'm going to teach you this trick. It's really cool, and it's a great illustration of what God does for us. He takes our dirty rags, makes them clean. Yeah, that's it, pretty much. It's pretty cool, huh? All right, so let's do this, all right? So I'm going to show you some dirty rags, okay? I'm going to open up this box. Now pay close attention because, again, the key is making you think I did things that I never did, okay? You're going to think I put it in the box, but watch up my sleeves, okay? Here we go. So we got rags like this, you know, dirty rags. Rags get dirty, right? You're out there playing, things happen, right? We mess up, we sin. It's an analogy for life, okay? So we get these dirty rags and we come and we put them into this detergent. It's kind of cool, right? You don't even need a washing machine. You know, and then some of you high school boys, what have you guys been doing? All right. Oh, they're asleep up here, man. They're not sure what's going on. All right, just kidding. All right. So here we go. We've got these dirty rags, and we just take them and we put them in here. We stuff them nice and down and far so you guys know how the trick goes. Shh. All right. And then, of course, you know, so wait, how many rags is that? This is number 3. Thank you. All right. Third rag, all right, we're going to take it, and see, the illusion is you think I'm stuffing it down in there when I'm really putting it underneath my watch and into a special compartment where no one can see, okay? Maybe? Think? Here we go. We're going to close it up. And then with every trick, I pray that it works. Okay. All right, so we take it, we put the dirty rags, and then we shake it. All right? That's what God does with our sin, right? He takes it. He shakes it. No, just kidding. All right? He shakes up our sin. He gets... All right? You don't need a washer, but you do need to have strong arms, okay? All right? And then he turns it upside down. Okay? And he opens up the box. And how many rags did we put in? I hope that there's still 3 in here. Who said 4? Someone trying to mess with me. Okay, here we go. How many? 1. 1. Oh, let's hope this works. 1. How many? How many? 2. How many? 2. You see that? I drew your attention away. How many? 3. That's a good magician. All right. Ta-da! And he makes them clean. Now, the thing is, everything I do up here, it's an illusion, it's a trick, right? But the cool thing is with the Lord, there are no illusions, there are no tricks. He takes our rags. Where did they go? And he cleans them and makes them new. How did he do that? I don't know. They say a good magician never reveals his tricks. I'm not a good magician, so maybe I will later tell you how I did it. I don't know. Anyways, I love this trick because it's a demonstration of what God does for us. He takes our sins and he washes them away. And the key is this, is God wants us to experience his freedom in our lives. And that will only happen if we're willing to put our life in his hands. If the Israelites would have followed the 2 instead of the 10, life would have been a lot different. If they would have put their life in God's hands, they wouldn't have wandered in the desert like they wandered. I wonder how many times do we wander because we don't put our life in God's hands. We put our life in our own hands. We have to put our life in his hands. We have to stop smacking up against the glass like the seagulls, okay? Maybe this time. Guess what? No time. It's not going to work, all right? It just isn't. We have to give our sins. We have to give our failures to him. And we have to let God lead us into the promised land that he has for us. Amen? Let's pray real quick. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for just this awesome time to be together as a family. And Lord, the reality that you want us to be able to live the life that you've called us to live, Lord. And Lord, my prayer is that as we do head into this new year, we know your mercies are new every morning. But as we head into this new year, Lord, may we start fresh with just this understanding of knowing that, Lord, we want to live the life that you have for us, Lord. We want to submit to you and to your will, to quit smacking against the glass and to live the life that you've called us to live, Lord, to experience the promised land that you have for each of us here on this earth, Lord. And so we thank you for this word. We pray that you allow it just to penetrate our heart, to encourage us, Lord, as we walk in you. We thank you for these things. We thank you for this morning. Be with us as we go from here. Bless us tonight, Lord, as we celebrate the end of 2017 and the newness of 2018. We just give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.